Today's StreamGlobe devotional is titled, Adopted into God's Family. Today's meditation was written by Abraham Damilola Arigi. We shall take our Bible reading from John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I have just read from the King James Version. Zachary was a very shy boy throughout elementary and middle school. His smaller stature made him an easy target for bullies. Life was not kind to Zachary. He never knew his father, and his mother struggled with addiction. Despite the odds, his grandmother, a determined woman of faith, insisted that he take his education seriously. Yet, Zachary's self-esteem remained deeply wounded, and he felt unworthy of love or purpose. After high school, while working at a store, Zachary met a group of Mormons who took an interest in him. They invited him to their church, and he started attending. One snowy Sunday, unable to attend their church due to inclement weather, Zachary decided to visit a nearby Christian church instead. That service would change his life forever. As he listened to the preacher, for the first time, he heard about Jesus in a way that was deeply personal. The pastor spoke on John 1:12, emphasizing that those who received Jesus were given the power to become children of God. For the first time, Zachary realized that God wasn't a distant deity who could not be known, but a loving father offering a relationship through his son. Tears streamed down his face as he surrendered his heart to Christ. That day, Zachary's life began to change. The power to become a child of God wasn't just a theological concept, it became his lived reality. He joined that church, grew in the Word, and gradually saw his identity transform. No longer defined by his past or his circumstances, Zachary found a new sense of worth and purpose in his relationship with Christ. Reflection. The power to become sons of God isn't just about a title. It's about transformation. Like Zachary, we all carry scars and struggles, but when we receive Christ, we are adopted into God's family and given the strength to walk in this new identity. Go into today knowing that no matter your past or present struggles, if you have received Christ, you have His Spirit within you, empowering you to live a life of purpose and victory. Prayer. Lord, thank you for giving me the power to become your child. Help me to fully embrace my new identity in you and walk in the victory you have provided. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's yearly Bible reading shall be taken from Acts 11-12. This Bible reading plan is continuous. If, for example, you begin with us today, by this time next year, you will have gone through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The reading comes up next, Acts 11-12.
The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said,
"You went into the house of the uncircumcised and ate with them?"
Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story.
"I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said,
'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.'
So if God gave them the same gift, he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?
When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the believers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up.
"Quick, get up,"
he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him,
"Put on your clothes and sandals."
And Peter did so.
"Wrap your cloak around you and follow me,"
the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said,
"Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen."
When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed,
"Peter is at the door."
"You're out of your mind," they told her.
When she kept insisting that it was so, they said,
"It must be his angel."
But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison.
"Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this,"
he said, and then left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, He cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. Having secured the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. On the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted,
"This is the voice of a god, not of a mere mortal."
Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God continued to increase and spread. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem, taking with them John, also called Mark.
You have just listened to Stream Globe Devotional. Kindly share this devotional and let's touch lives together. To learn more about this ministry, get more of our free resources, visit our website at streamglobe.org.
We invite you to tune into our 24/7 internet radio. It is loaded with edifying sermons, music, and other programs. You can listen to Stream Globe Radio at www.streamglobe.org.